What's up, you guys? Sean Rossat, Managing Editor, Fightful.com, FightfulSelect.com. It's time for the Q&A show. Lots of stuff today. Obviously, we're doing it on a Monday. I'm heading to Canada tomorrow, but let's go ahead and get into it. It's a little, it feels weird doing this on a Monday, especially with the news cycle going so crazy. We have a new guy taking over for Pat starting next week. Pat got his dream job, essentially. The only thing he wanted to do more, I think, than pro wrestling stuff was to work in a brewery, and that's what he's going to do now. So thank you to Pat for all he's done. He'll stay on with us and continue to do stuff. My only request is that you try to keep the questions not so long-winded, because it can get confusing as I'm reading them on the fly, and I don't want the questions to be like a self-fulfilling thing. So just kind of keep them. I mean, you can ask as many as you want. Just maybe keep the length down a little bit. First question: do you see WWE ever running a WWE versus NXT live event pay-per-view? The idea of a card featuring top champions from both brands facing off, plus a few other top-tier cross-promotion matches, seems to be a no-brainer. Matches like Undisputed Era versus New Day Usos, Ricochet versus Seth, and Ciampa versus AJ could be the building blocks of an instantly memorable show. I think they should. I really think they should, because NXT is a very hot brand. And I don't want to say loyal, because, I mean, there are a lot of people who just their socks are knocked off by those NXT TakeOver shows, but they don't watch the weekly NXT programming. They definitely should. It would be a great idea to go ahead and just, or not go ahead, but especially when you've got a really packed roster. But I think that's a great way to put over a guy. I mean, tag team champions in NXT Undisputed Era, if they beat the B team, does that hurt the B team? No. Now, granted, that isn't a fantasy match, but we'll see. John Baez, one of our champion level members, says, how long do you see Matt Riddle in NXT? I think longer the better. The main roster scares me for him. Main roster money doesn't scare me for him. I mean, he's got three kids and a wife, as he mentioned, with diabetes. So he's trying to take care of them. He's trying to do the best for them. Creatively, I think NXT is great for him. He's going to be a big, big star there. Creatively in WWE, I would hope that Vince McMahon is out by the time Matt comes in, because, oh man. And the guys like Road Dogg who think that wins and losses don't matter, they do matter to a guy like that, who's part of his building block is the fact that he was cut from the UFC after a four-fight winning streak. Who do you think they will use as the person who assaulted Aleister Black? Someone on the NXT roster, the main roster, or somebody not even on either roster yet? I think it should be someone who is in the NXT roster, or on the NXT roster and is a babyface. You got to turn him somehow. I've heard a lot of people say maybe Cassius Ohno, to turn him heel, because how long can he do what he's doing? He is basically a player coach there, but I think he would be a solid choice. And he needs a refresher. What's the dream shelf life on NXT? I have the same fear for him that I do for Matt Riddle on the main roster. Well, he's 22. That's the thing. His shelf life is as long as they want to make it. He can create stories and create intrigue just by his mannerisms and just by him doing things that other people don't do. Him walking a certain way, him selling a certain way, him acting a certain way, just the way that he talks, the way that he sells. He does things a little bit differently that extend his shelf life anywhere. I mean, you all are going to see him, barring some unforeseen tragedy, you're going to see him around for the next two decades. And I think that's pretty cool, because he gets it. He can already work. He does different things. And I think he's got a lot of shelf life. He's never even held a title yet. We've not seen Velveteen Dream as a real title challenger or a champion. So I don't think he'll have two more years in NXT, but I think his could be that long. Will the Undisputed Era come up together, or will they separate Adam Cole from them? If they're smart, they'll bring them all up because they're all ready. They all know how to work cameras. They all are experienced. They've all been around for over a decade. And they have, like, cruiserweight NWO vibes to them. They have that too cool for school kind of look, feel, and approach to them. But they can all work. They can all work multiple styles. They can all do different things. I think you really should bring them up together. Pardon the dead air, had to cough. But yeah, I think that they're best served as a unit. They play off of each other better. They are the heels that people like to cheer, but they can also boo during the course of a match because they respect their work enough. See the Mustache Mountain stuff, for example. I think that would be a good approach. Will EC3 be a quick call-up like KO was? He should be, because like I mentioned, main roster ready. He is already main roster ready because he was on the main roster 5 or 6 years ago, however long ago it was. So I would look for EC3 to come up soon. Man, there are a lot of people that compare him to Bobby Roode, and I'll expand on that when I talk about NXT, but I don't see that. I see way more upside out of EC3. He does different things, but he should be. Giving him a run in NXT, maybe to kind of keep him up to date with everything, was a decent idea, and he made a nice impression, was a part of a 5-star ladder match. He had a great performance there, and he's done some cool stuff. I know he was knocked loopy this week or during the Dream match very early, like 5 minutes in. I don't want to go and say concussion, but I know that he got knocked pretty hard in that match and still put on a good one. Really good match. So, yeah, I do. I would expect that. It wouldn't shock me to see him up there this week. Is Shayna Baszler main roster bound? And if so, how will she be booked if Ronda is super over as a babyface? So the thing is, I would be shocked if they brought Shayna up and put her on a brand that wasn't with Rousey, because you want to make Rousey as comfortable as possible and as happy as possible. How would she be booked? I think she'll be booked in a Four Horsewomen storyline initially. And their whole thing is loyalty, loyalty, loyalty. We're a unit. We're together. So initially, that would be a good idea. But, I mean, man, if you have women's tag titles, I would go that route, because Ronda is the woman on Raw. She is the deal on Raw. It's hard to say, man. Man, that's a tough one. That is a real tough one, because she is kind of – I'm a Reds fan. What happens if we have a great first baseman coming up in the minor league system? He's blocked by Joey Votto. Now, Shayna is much older than Rousey, but she's blocked by Rousey at the top of the card. But there can be a story in that as well. Let's have at it. What did you think of Dave Meltzer's comments about Peyton Royce, and what did you think about the backlash towards him? Okay. What he said and what he meant, I think, were two different things. I think that he meant that she was lighter because of her surgery, her breast implant surgery in NXT, and as a result, he liked her work more there. I've not seen enough of her work on SmackDown to make a proper assessment about whether or not I like her work more here or more there, because it's one, it's different, and two, there's not been enough time. I like the promos just fine on SmackDown. I love that stuff. I love them together. If I were him, I would have said I thought she was better in the ring pre-surgery, if that's what he meant. He has not made that argument. The piling on, okay, here's the thing. I make a part of my living criticizing these people. I do out of 10 ratings, like 1 out of 10. So if I rated a Seth Rollins match poorly, and he came along right after that and he said, I rate this column that you wrote a 2 out of 10. I'd say, all right, fair game. Fair game, man. I get it. I do not attack them as people unless they do something like that. Peyton Royce didn't do anything like that. She wasn't attacked like that. So other than that, my thing is, if you don't know somebody personally, don't get personal, and vice versa, unless it's something so egregious that you can that you can make that assessment properly. And I think a lot of people got really personal with Dave Meltzer and didn't need to. He's a very nice guy. Sometimes he, you know, as we all do, he says things that he regrets. But the support for Peyton Royce was nice. But, I mean, I do kind of see some of the points that other people make about, like, what about these other issues? But that is whataboutism, and I'm not big on that. I'm glad that Peyton got support, and I hate that Dave experienced that because he said that. And I mean, I don't want to say I hate that Dave experienced that. I hate that Peyton experienced that. And there were people who would listen to Dave Meltzer and say, yeah, she's gained weight. My God, Peyton Royce is in incredible shape. My God, man. Incredible shape. So, man, it was... I hate that it happened is the thing, and I hope that somebody learned from it, not just Dave. I hope other people gained some knowledge off of this because, you know, it's a running joke on the Listen Your Boy when Jimmy says, oh, you're being too sensitive. I'm like, man, I got people attacking my wife, threatening my family, saying some really personal shit on there. And my reach is maybe, let me see how many followers Peyton Royce has. It's a lot. And I mean, you're talking about she's on Instagram where she has way more reach. All right. She's got about, oh, I don't know, 23 times the reach, or no, 230 times the reach of me on Twitter, and probably about a million times the reach of me on Instagram where she's posting pictures of herself and people will directly comment on her image. I can't imagine how much shit she gets. I can't imagine how much negativity that she experiences. It's just, it's brutal. Brutal, man. So I just hope that somebody learned from it. What do you think about WWE already jumping the gun on Alexa, Trish, at Evolution? It's an appropriate matchup. The two's careers mirror one another pretty well. Follow up on the Meltzer question. Has the world become too sensitive about certain comments being made these days, or just people finally putting their foot down? I think it's finally people putting their foot down, but I think that people are too sensitive about a lot of things. But at the same time, if somebody is ridiculously out of shape, I make comments about Brian Malonis. Sometimes I'm uncomfortable watching him in the ring because he's a big dude, and I don't want, from a health standpoint, I have concerns about him, and I want him to be okay. That wasn't the situation. Will Pete Dunne ever be a main roster guy, or will be the face of WWE in the UK for years to come? A lot of people see Pete Dunne, and they say, like, WrestleMania main eventer. I don't see that. I think he could be a key cog in 205 Live and the face of WWE UK as long as they have it. Any truth to the rumor that Balor is thinking about tinkering the demon gimmick, which is why we haven't seen the demon at all? Well, we saw it last night, but he hasn't had a reason. He hasn't had a match big enough, and he just pulled it out at SummerSlam just to do it. And appropriately, it resulted in a squash. There's always talks of Tinker. I don't want to say always. There have always been talks of him adapting and jumping and doing some different things as it pertains to the demon gimmick, because it is important to his character. Up next, is there another reason why Jason or stumbled over my words. Is there another reason why Chad Gable has been left off TV, possibly due to Jason Jordan's injury? You know, I had heard that they had talked about reuniting American Alpha, but, man, that would be dead in the water. They couldn't get it over on SmackDown. They're not going to get it over here. I just hate that that happened to Jason Jordan. That's sad, and it's heartbreaking. it was just the man. It's just it's a bummer how American Alpha was handled and how Jason Jordan is now on the shelf. Chad Gable is one of those guys that's so talented that he could go elsewhere and do great things, but he just won't. But yeah, I think they left that off because they're just not sure what to do with him, and they don't want to beat him to death on TV. They say they are going to redo Bray Wyatt's character. Does this mean a whole new Bray Wyatt? Who is they? You gotta ask, who is they? They don't say anything. Some people say something. They should do a new Wyatt family, and he should move to SmackDown. He has no business being on Raw right now. SmackDown could benefit from him leading the Bludgeon Brothers when they can stay healthy. A big observation from the Royce Meltzer debacle wasn't about the comments themselves, but the 1 week gap between the quote and the reaction and the near universal condemnation from the locker room that a sign in the 2018, the main roster doesn't have the same connection to Dave as say 10 years ago or more. Alexa Bliss, Rita, or grew up reading The Observer, Ronda Rousey. He doesn't break WWE news anywhere near the degree as before, although certain elements of the wrestling world still clearly has ties to him. Jericho, The Elite, and so much. He isn't the pseudo power broker, mover, and shaker as he was back in his day. From your talks with roster guys, is this true? And as a journalist, would you agree that his place is more of a historian than a journalist today? He seems to have his obvious favorites to the point to where you can't call him unbiased, and his open participation in promotional materials seem to have him compromised. Oh, boy. Whew. Man, how do I approach this? When I read the newsletter, I really, really, really think there should be some sort of distance between him reporting news and him reporting his opinion. And that's long been a point of contention with him and other people. I respect him for the things that he has done. He does not break news nearly as much. He does have some stuff here and there. Me and Mike Johnson break news more than him, and I don't know how often Mike Johnson does it. He has some backstage notes here and there, but now WWE breaks their own news. That's just the place we're at. The reception that I got from wrestlers was that they saw it as fair game. Like I mentioned earlier, he makes his money criticizing them sometimes. More often than not, I mean, it's a running joke that if something good happens in WWE, he's like, yeah, but I saw four matches in New Japan or PWG that were as good as that. Okay, well, this is a different type of product. Yeah, I think today he is more of a historian, but he's still a journalist. He still is a journalist, and he is the most prominent wrestling journalist there is, and his reach is unbelievable. He makes his money completely off of subs. If we could make Fightful work as a sub-only thing, I wonder if we would. Because I like the free method. I like that. It's crucial to our growth is having our news out there. And I think that's helped my profile and helped Ryan Satin's profile. Because our news is out there and it's readily available. Look at Showdown Joe and the Holy Smokes podcast. He is extremely valuable, but he's not breaking news right now. He's not getting interviews right now. So what I've done is I brought on James Lynch, who interviews people and breaks news from that. And he is our breaking news journalist. I am the host, and Joe is going to be our historian because he's been around. He's certified as a ref and a judge. There's nothing wrong with embracing that role, but Dave is very good about some things. He advances with the times and adjusts where a lot of people haven't, man. A lot of people won't. Like, I saw Mike Bucci on Facebook say, oh, this completely reiterates to me that Mike Johnson is the most ethical journalist. I'm like, man, Mike Johnson tried to blackball David Bixenspan for writing an article about how much fucking malware was on their site. Like, tried to blackball one of the best wrestling journalists in David Bixenspan because he said, hey, guys, maybe chill with the spyware. Okay? And it's not ethical to me. Dave, a lot of his writing doesn't age well. Like talking about Sable's boobs and how, like, just making taking shots at those all the time back in the 90s. As far as bias, the Miz thing stands out to me where he and Brian can't separate. Like, it seems like Miz can do no right. I don't listen to Observer Radio anymore. I have too many shows to listen to myself. But man, I respect those guys. And I think that being unbiased is crucial to integrity as a journalist. But I mean, some people are going to hate Meltzer no matter what, and some people are going to love him no matter what. I don't necessarily personally have an opinion on him either way. Related, can we agree that whether Meltzer is a valuable resource for news or anymore, he's a terrible voice. He stammers and meanders on his podcast. He's mostly monotonous. His match breakdowns are basically a list of moves, and his awkward rambling is directly why he spat out the word-for-word vomit in the Peyton comment. Moreover, Alvarez is terrible for him. Brian has no sources, puts in no work, frequently doesn't watch the matches they talk about, and doesn't help lead the conversation, and leaves Dave high and dry. There's obvious synergy between, for example, Joe and Rich, SRS and Palowski, Hawkins and McCarron. So I don't report the things that Brian mentions on the show. Like if he reports news, it's just, I mean, the track record of it not coming true was too much for me. But man, I like him personally. I like Brian as a podcaster. Man, he is a great podcaster and does it full time. And my thing is, I try my best to watch everything. That's why I do the Weekender, so I can get in Lucha Underground, BTE, Ring of Honor, Impact. And even though I watch 205 Live and NXT, I had to delegate some of that. I had to get Warren Hayes to do that show. And when Mae Young Classic and the UK tournament and all that stuff happens, I can watch that. And sometimes I get highlights, but man, I got to watch. I didn't get to watch any of the G1s. So you know what I didn't do? I didn't talk about it because I didn't watch any of it except for the finals. I was so slammed, I didn't get to watch any of it. And that's my thing, man. I'm not going to cover something I don't know about. That's just my feeling. As for Meltzer, man, I don't know. I feel uncomfortable talking about someone else in this line of work in a negative light, because I like everybody. I really do. Was Kairi Sane versus Shayna Baszler the best NXT women's title match since the horsewomen stuff? I never felt like Asuka got to fully show what she could do, even against Bayley. Yeah, I liked the San Antonio match. I love that. That was really hardcore. Or not really hardcore, but for them it was. I love this match. It was a mix of so much that I liked. I'll talk about it more on the wrap-up show I'm going to do about NXT. I'm going to do a few minutes on that. So I'll kind of address that there. Promotions like New Japan and Stardom are heavily, heavily faction-based. There are divisions between groups like Bullet Club, LIJ, and Chaos in New Japan. Dictates all the matchups and the bookings. It makes things fairly predictable but organized, and there's some interfactional stuff that can get interesting. WWE has largely eschewed big factions. Why is that, and should they get going down that path? I don't think they should. Their thing, I mean, maybe they could. If they did, that would be, I would try it on something like SmackDown or NXT just to try it out, because that could make for some interesting stuff. I wouldn't call DOA, Los Boricuas, or anybody like that interesting, but the Nation of Domination and DX sure was. And then when we got some infighting, that was interesting. So when we get Bullet Club versus Bullet Club, it does feel special and it does feel different. It does feel cool. So yeah, I'd say it's worth a shot. I'd say it's worth a try for sure, because there is that intrigue that comes from it. I'm a $5 tier member with VOW, and Rich answered two of my questions in his Q&A. $10 tier with Fightful Select gets me unlimited questions in the Q&A. Should I feel bad for ripping you off? I'm just trying to give you guys your money's worth. To be honest with you, podcast sponsorships and online ads, clicks, and all that shit is not where it was. So we do much better off of Fightful Select. That's why I put up the goal. If we do 1,000 subs every week, I will have somebody do a live watch-along. Whatever you all pick, Raw, SmackDown, pay-per-view, we will cater much more to the subscribers than we will the general public, because that would cover so much of what we do. I just want to turn a profit for Jimmy. That's my goal. I want to turn a profit for Jimmy because I get the feeling that as long as we do that, he'll keep it around. Have you caught any G1 yet? Nope, haven't. May not. Hopefully I get to. I'm hoping that once September 1st moves along, it'll get a little easier. But, man, I've got to film a retro review for John Baez. I have to film a members-only podcast, maybe in Canada. Got to get Alex Andreessen on one of them. Lots of stuff to get going. And with Warren Hayes' schedule apparently changing soon, that hopefully we can still get those retro reviews done, like in an early afternoon or something like that. Are you ready for heel Gargano? I can't wait. Yeah, I'm intrigued by it. I'm interested. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know where it's going to go. In the lead-up to TakeOver, Kairi Sane gave Aaliyah 3 insane elbow drops, refusing to pin her in the process before locking her in a sub and staring Baszler down. She's a babyface. At TakeOver, the War Raiders jumped Undisputed and beat the crap out of them. They're babyface. Why is the main roster so reticent to give babyfaces an edge? Vince McMahon. There you go. Any chance Triple H gets to pull some main roster talent onto NXT at WrestleMania to combat the G1 supercard? I don't think they need it. They don't need it. Related, you are Triple H and Vince won't let you use main roster talent, but you can do whatever you want with 205 NXT in UK. What do you book on April 2019 against the G1 supercard? Let's stick with a standard 2 dark matches and 5 takeover matches and about 3 hours time. Let's look at the NXT roster. Well, first off, I have Matt Riddle main eventing that show against whoever the champion is. I assume Tommaso Ciampa. Just assume Tommaso Ciampa. Whew, it's hard to book these things on the fly. Kairi Sane, maybe against a heel Bianca Belair. Bianca Belair goes over. Whoever the champion is, against Bianca Belair, period. That's who does that. I would probably go, EC3 is probably going to go to the main roster. I would do Johnny Gargano against maybe Adam Cole, because you're going to have Gargano with an edge there. Ricochet, and this is off the top of my head. Man, I think Ricochet against Aleister Black would be a good one. That's like a dynamic that I don't see a lot of. And I would probably do some sort of multiple-person match, probably run back a ladder match if they don't do it at WrestleMania. Run back a ladder match with multiple people, like Dream and all those guys. Don't put Kona Reeves anywhere near. Keith Lee in a ladder match would be very, very good. On the dark match, probably Deonna. And I'd like to see Deonna get an edge to her, but man, she's so likable. Deonna against maybe Candice LeRae. Man, their cupboards are going to get kind of empty. They already have Shayna Baszler off the NXT roster on Wikipedia. Whew. And a tag match. Oh, God. Probably War Raiders. And if you can extend War Raiders Undisputed Era that long, I would do it. Man, it's going to be hard to. But, man, those are the two hottest teams. I don't think they got anybody else. But I don't think they'll have trouble selling tickets there. No problem at all. SRS, please explain to me the term doesn't need the title in your own words. That was more an old thing. When somebody says about Roddy Piper he didn't need the title, it's because Hulk Hogan's holding it for 4 years. Bruno Sammartino is holding it for 7 years and then for 3 years. And then Backlund's holding it for 4 years. And then another guy for a year. That doesn't happen these days. Sometimes with Lesnar, but you never look at somebody now and say they don't need the title. Elias, kind of. That's it. Duggan, I don't think Duggan was at the level for the title. Jake, Piper, they didn't need it back then. And that's because there wasn't enough. SRS file question. Any truth to the rumor you'll become a Canadian citizen and permanent resident in Toronto due to the fortune you're currently making to your amazing Blue Chew promos and newfound love for pancakes? If the amount that I made reflected the move to Toronto, I think I would consider a move. I have a lot of great friends here and family here, but man, Toronto is a perfect city. And I'm in the situation where I'm very loyal to Jimmy Van. I've passed up some offers from familiar faces, I'll say that. If Jimmy asked me tomorrow to if he said tomorrow, I'm closing Fightful, but I want to keep you on and have you work in my office, I would probably do it. Or if he said, I'm going to start up this site and I want you to run it, I'd probably do it. I would still cover wrestling to some degree, but loyalty is an important thing to me, and I've really learned that over the past couple of years. What did you think of Hulk Hogan's brotherhood statement about some wrestlers still not forgiving him? I thought he's a fucking idiot. What a dipshit. What a stupid thing to say. What a dumb thing to say. And I hated assigning that article because of Bill. Because of Bill Apter. Bill Apter recommended me for this job. Bill Apter gave me a shot. But, my God. And that was his first guest on his new podcast. That's why I felt bad. Because, I mean, it put some negative publicity on that. But, Jesus fucking Christ, man. How dumb do you got to be to make that statement? Hogan didn't learn shit. You think Matt Riddle will ever go back to MMA? I think he'll get an offer. I think they'll try to make a UFC fight happen with him. Have we seen the last of the Woken Matt Hardy gimmick, let alone any type of compound match? No, I think he'll be a special attraction. Is Jericho Impact bound, and then how would that affect him WWE-wise? I would be shocked if he were Impact bound. Shocked. He wouldn't wrestle in Long Beach for New Japan. How would you book Riddle's first few months in NXT, tapping out people really quickly before building to someone? Have him thrown in a feud straight away. I eventually want to see him against Keith Lee because I always love their matches. I'm not sure who to place him with first. Established people and have him beat established people quick. Have him beat some names really quick. That's what I want to see. Then you build up to maybe have a collision course like Keith Lee's doing the same. If SummerSlam is indeed in Toronto next year, would you consider doing a show there with JV for it? If they did that, I would, and this is a recommendation, I'd fly up Thursday. I would try to do media stuff then and Friday, NXT Saturday, SummerSlam Sunday, Raw, SmackDown Monday, Tuesday. I would try to do a live Holy Smokes with Joe and James, and then I'd try to do a live show with Jimmy and hopefully take in a Blue Jays game with the team as well. It's my job, man. Anything they tell me to do, if Jimmy flies me to Oklahoma and says, I want you to do your podcast from Oklahoma, that's what I'm doing. With the Anvil's recent death, is it time to put the Whole Heart Foundation in the late 90s in the WWE Hall of Fame? Brett is the only one left alive from that crew now, and it may be the only way to get Owen in as well. Yes, it is. And I'd have Brett, Brian Pillman Jr., and Natalya, and Harry Smith induct them, and hopefully one of Owen's children. My fear with Matt Riddle is that Vince would give him the RVD treatment on the main roster if he comes up sooner rather than later. Am I being a bit too paranoid in this? RVD became world champion. Let's not forget that. That if Matt Riddle got to RVD level, keep him at, you always hear Raven say, if they would have put RVD with Austin during the invasion, it would have been nothing but money. That's a good spot to be in. Matt Riddle doesn't have to be Roman Reigns, John Cena, and all those things. He can be RVD and do really, really well and embrace that role and do great in it. Marty Scurll, all the tools to be a top WWE star are held back by lack of size ultimately. Held back by lack of size ultimately, but has the tools to be an outstanding WWE performer. Am I the only one who wants Brock to beat Reigns? And as Brock elevates Matt Riddle, or as Brock celebrates, Matt Riddle hops the guardrail and kicks him. I wish, man, I wish. I wish Matt Riddle would retire Brock or at least send him packing. My wife and I are coming up on 15 years of marriage and renew our vows. And we should we renew our vows so the children can appreciate the experience, or should we wait for a milestone like 25? Man, if you want your kids to enjoy it, let them enjoy it. Can you please, for the love of God, restart the Shane Helms podcast? So when we did that, we had a bunch of shows, and we paid those guys pretty good. We were just trying to make our names and stuff, and the juice wasn't always worth the squeeze, but Shane's internet connection is so goddamn bad. That was the reason I got canceled so much. So I would love to do one, but I'm doing 30 shows a month right now. If we hit a certain subscriber level, I'll reach out to him and try to make it work. Right now, the amount that we paid him is would take so much away from what we make on Select. Now that Matt Riddle is in NXT, not counting the obvious Elite crew, who do you think will be the next NXT WWE-bound indie star? Probably Pentagon and Rey Fénix. Not next, but they're once the Lucha Underground deal is up. I don't think the Elite is obvious. I don't think they're guaranteed yet. You could be on an indie show and get in with any classic wrestler gimmick to be pinned with and lose the match. What would it be? Jeff Jarrett or Honky Tonk Man's guitar? Duggan's 2x4? Jimmy Hart's megaphone, etc.? That stick with the W on it that Warlord had. No, but really, the scepter. Macho King's scepter. If you go back and you look at him cracking Warrior over the head with it, that was a great one. Seems like wrestling media personalities, not just Meltzer, get in trouble when fans confuse opinion with reporting. How could and can reporters distinguish between the two? I always say it's my opinion. I don't integrate opinion into my columns or anything like that. And I say often, a lot of the times this is reflecting something. I'll say if I'm reporting something. If I'm making an offhand comment on Twitter, that's not me reporting something necessarily. It's pretty – I think people should just be educate themselves better. It's not tough for me to decipher when Dave Meltzer's reporting or unleashing opinion. How much longer do you think Impact will keep up with their generous contract ways, allowing wrestlers to bounce around various promotions? A long time. They're not going to be number two anytime soon. They're not going to pass up Ring of Honor, so they might as well work with Ring of Honor. Think Nakamura will stay longer at WWE or go back to Japan? I think he will stay with WWE beyond this contract, and then he'll finish up in Japan. SRS, when does Braun cash in? Well, it would make sense for him to heave Roman Reigns off of like some kind of balcony tonight, right? And then just murder him and then cash in. But that's not going to happen right now. So the house shows have them facing each other. I'm ready for this feud. I hope they don't try to make Braun a heel. Just let him rock with what he's doing and let him... let him be him. Let him be over. Is Brock done with WWE if he wins the UFC title? And is Brock done with the UFC if he loses to Cormier? I do think he's done in the UFC if he loses to Cormier. Brock is 40 years old, which isn't crazy or anything in the UFC's heavyweight division. I mean, let me look at how old Daniel Cormier is. Daniel Cormier is 39. By the time they fight, let's see. By the time they fight, Cormier will be 40. Lesnar will be 41. Man, Lesnar is 41. I remember him as the new young star. I don't think he's done with WWE. I think he'll wrestle until he can't anymore here and there. WrestleMania 35, which is more likely, Shield triple threat or Braun versus Roman? Or Braun or Roman versus someone else for that title? It should be the Shield triple threat match. There are a few matches I think can headline WrestleMania right now with their big stars. Braun versus Roman, I think, can possibly. But the Shield triple threat, Ronda Rousey against a big threat, and then the four horsewomen all against each other. But you got to build a real story. Got to build a real story there. But I think all those could do it. What's the future for Asuka, WWE Rise, and what role will she play in Evolution? She'll have a big match at Evolution. She's not walked out. She's just fine. She's on the customary SmackDown break. They do that to keep people out of the public eye. They don't want to beat them to death. It's a formula they had. They did it with New Day. They've done it with Charlotte. They did it with Samoa Joe. They've done it with a ton of people, and they're doing it again. No big deal. Who will turn on the Rondas first? Natalya, the Bellas, or why not Shayna? I think the Bellas, Natalya, I think maybe would have, but, you know, things happen this week. What's the future of Lashley? I feel like WWE has already ruined him. To continue to get really stupid, shitty storylines like this, they have really screwed him up. He needs to walk out there and be the baddest dude in the room. Just the baddest dude in the room. Guys, thank you all so much. I'm going to do a quick video in a bit talking about my NXT TakeOver thoughts. Till next time, guys. We're out.